everyone, and welcome to Caught It All with Karen. Today's going to be a very informative show. I'm going to be talking to you all about the ins and outs of socialism, got some great tracks to play in the mix for you, and of course I'm going to be bleating on about how I've been suffering from influenza A in the last week. So, yeah, just ignore that part, eh? But anyway, let's get things cracking because I've got quite a bit to record today. And we're going to start things with a song by Post Malone called Circles. Whilst perusing my Twitter timeline, I've noticed quite a bit of talk about our Prime Minister having a socialist agenda. And some people are saying such statements are unfair and rash, and it gets quite heated actually. And I guess it doesn't really help the fact that she was once the president of the International Union of Socialist Youth. I was never really properly educated on political philosophies, thanks to our incredible education system. Would have been helpful in my opinion, but I don't know. Maybe I could have just done my own research, maybe talked to my mother, who's pretty clued up with that kind of stuff. She's just not a very good teacher, though. So, yeah, that probably wouldn't have worked, actually. But, yeah, I wanted to, before we unpack the argument as to whether Jacinda is a socialist or isn't, let's just first unpack a bit what actually is socialism. And I won't go too much into depth because I don't think I've got the brain capacity for it, to be honest. Me and politics, honestly, I don't know if I've got, at the moment, with this virus, don't really have the brain capacity for much at all. For those of you who didn't tune in right at the beginning, I've just sort of at the ends of having the flu, so forgive me if I'm not making sense. I'm alive. So, yeah. So, socialism, according to Wikipedia, is a political, social, and economic philosophy encompassing a range of economic and social systems, all of which are characterized by social ownership. The key word here to take away is social ownership. Now, social ownership can take the form of many things, including things such as community ownership, state ownership, and employee ownership. Interesting to note is that socialism and communism are both economic philosophies that advocate for public ownership, particularly over the means of production and the distribution in exchange of goods in a society. Both philosophies run contrary to the free market capitalism, which they contend exploits workers and creates a widening gap between rich and poor. There are differences between socialism and communism, however. Under communism, all property is communally owned. Private property does not exist. Proponents of socialism believe that it leads to a more equal distribution of goods and services and a more equitable society. However, due to its practical challenges and poor track record, socialism is sometimes referred to as a utopian system. Socialism, some expert economists say, must fail economically because of the economic calculation problem. In other words, the impossibility of a government being able to make the economic calculations required to organise a complex economy. It's really interesting, that phrase, because in my brain, while I was explaining all the ins and outs of socialism and communism, I was thinking, how do they actually calculate all this? How do they figure out, okay, so this person, you can have that kind of house because you're this and this and that, and that person, you can have this and that, and you can have one of those. It's like, to me, it was already getting too much for me, so I just kind of, after about 10 seconds, gave up on that. But hey, I'm not an expert economist, so, you know, but even the expert economists are saying it's, like, virtually impossible to do, and that's why it fails. So, maybe I'm not on mine. Contrary to this, there are modern adherents who believe socialism could work if properly implemented. And these, the people that believe that Jacinda Ardern, along with a number of other visionary world leaders, another being Justin Trudeau, these are the people that believe that socialism can work if properly implemented. This is what I'm reading. And it actually doesn't surprise me. It would explain a lot, in my opinion. In fact, structures which we are familiar with, very familiar with here in New Zealand at this very moment, like social welfare programs, unemployment compensation, housing assistance, things like that, they can all be under the socialist umbrella. Those are all ideas of socialism. But anyway, the old brain's starting to hurt a bit. And so I thought, well, that's a sure sign we need to break things up a bit with some music. So let's do that. We're going to check out some music by the Stranglers. Very appropriate song. Something different, not my usual sort of genre, although I have all sorts of... What is Karen's usual genre? But anyway, this song is called Freedom is Insane by the Stranglers. Enjoy. So welcome back to our discussion with regards socialism, and I was heading into how that is related to some of the measures taken during the pandemic. Is it still a pandemic? I don't know. I should be a man, the way I'm going on about this flu, but I feel like I've kind of done the COVID thing. Yep, tick that box, and now we're back onto the flu program, which is the way it is when you work in a school. Every year, every second year, you're going to get it. In fact, I've never had the flu jab before. I'm seriously thinking about getting that. Can someone maybe flick me some information on that, or advice, or a personal experience? Let me know what they think. I'd really appreciate that. So, with regard to the pandemic and what I would personally label as a draconian government health measure, or draconian government health measures taken, especially when Ardern and her government introduced the vaccine mandates, all that made me very, very angry. And it was the final straw for many of us, actually. Words suddenly came about like socialist, fascist, state of New Zealandistan, things like that. And it's still there a bit, but during the whole mid of the pandemic, when everyone was locked down and all that sort of thing, man, that was being thrown out quite a bit. The pushback, so how did all this come about? Well, the pushback, labelling and protesting, has not been experienced to this extent ever before in New Zealand. It really came to a climax, as I said, when the mandates hit. Let's take a look back. So, due to a reluctance and uptake of vaccines, mandates were introduced in order to curb hospitalisation rates. Well, okay, let's think about that. Has that worked? No. Hospitals are worse than ever. Yeah, good one. And also, to avoid more economically damaging restrictions. So they didn't really want to put anyone in lockdown. I had COVID and it wasn't that bad. The flu's worse, in my opinion. But I don't think I had the alpha strain of it. I don't believe I had that one. That may have been a different story. And if it really was as bad as what they were telling us, then I feel like the lockdowns were the first one was definitely relevant. And then you kind of just wait for the virus to peter out, thereafter. But yeah. But they don't want, you don't want to keep doing that, because especially the hospitality side of business takes a very hard hit. So, it sounds logical to most, but the problem is that imposing medical procedures on people can actually have serious long-term consequences. For some, this is a complete government overreach. And it's this that brewed social unrest and an increased mistrust in the government. And it's this kind of thing that can scar societies as severely as the actual pandemic itself. Most people who are hesitant to take COVID-19 vaccine are not loud, somewhat unhinged anti-vaxxers who worry about being implanted with tracking chips through the jab and this kind of thing. Many of them are sincerely concerned about introducing something new into their bodies, or simply want to understand the risks and benefits of the jab better, or have simply made a personal choice that they do not want it, for whatever reason that may be, and that they do not want it. But vaccine mandates can change that, because if governments impose vaccines on vaccine-hesitant people in a heavy-handed way, they become even more guarded. I personally think rather than forcing the vaccine on people, policymakers should actually take a moment to try to understand why people might be hesitant to take it. The moment a government recommendation becomes a forced requirement, it changes the power dynamic between the state and the individual. And this is where the term socialism comes into play. And this is about the government having too much of an overreach, especially when it comes to bodily autonomy. Government-imposed mandates feel inherently sinister, even if the intentions behind them are wholly well-meaning. So, back to socialism and our Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. When contemporary socialists talk about a non-autocratic, non-authoritarian, participatory and humanitarian version of socialism, like people like Jacinda Ardern, Justin Trudeau and the like, they're actually not being as original as they think they are. Because in actual fact, that was always the idea with socialism. This is what socialists have always said. And it is not for a lack of trying that it has never turned out that way. Socialism is always democratic in its aspirations. But the problem is, it's oppressive in its actual practice, and it has to be to work. The promise of improved conditions for the public inevitably, as history has shown us time and time and time again, always seems to be crushed as a result of politicians having too much power. So I will end today's discussion with a question. How is that an idea that has failed so many times in so many different variants and in so many radically different settings still be so popular? And here's another question. And how is it that governments of today, after all that has passed in history, how is it that they still believe they have the right to overreach like they do, especially when it never works? Because guess what? The people have brains, y'all.
Temptation strong. listening to Kōrero with Karen. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to tune in to Planet FM at 104.6 every fourth Wednesday at 10 past 2 in the afternoon. Or check it out anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/Kōrero with Karen. That's Karen with a Y. Ka kite anō e hoa.
Missed it? Your favorite show is available on demand.